Hello, Stigmatine confreres and members of the Stigmatine Lady, and as always, any chance listener who might have been passing by. We are involved in a discussion of St. Gaspar Toni's rather strong idea of being the economists of God's goods, that the community, whatever goods the community, whatever property or estates that the community owns, really belong to God. And it was not ours for profit-taking or any of these things, but simply to finance our way of life. Before we do this, let's begin with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, the holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Toni, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'll continue this tendency of St. Gaspar to really offer whatever he had to others who could handle it better and refuse anything that would develop his own community. Interestingly enough, this was the cause of some concern in the cause of his canonization. When the objection came up, how could a man of any common sense be so disinterested in his own and so interested in others? It seemed to be a remarkable exception of common sense. The answer that eventually came for pious people was, sometimes God's wisdom is different from the wisdom, the best wisdom we can present. However it is, only God can judge these things. Father Bertoni, now in our recent discussion, is engaged with the Jesuits. They had been suppressed by the Vatican because of the conflict between Napoleon and Pope Pius VI, who was a Benedictine abbot and became pope, and when Napoleon was defeated, named a number of Benedictine abbots as bishops. At any rate, St. Gaspar, after the passage of some years, decided that whether or not he could himself continue a tuition-free school, he wanted to help the Jesuits come back because of the very salutary effect they had had on his life. We remember those discussions on the constitutions of St. Gaspar, almost word for word. They are taken from a Father Francis Suarez, a Jesuit theologian, studying the Ignatian rule. So when St. Gaspar became aware of the fact that the Jesuits had reached a dead end in their efforts to develop a house or find a place that would be suitable for a Jesuit novitiate in the city, that would also be most beneficial to the diocese, is what St. Gaspar thought. As a result, St. Gaspar made an outright offer of the two sites of the two estates listed as his own property. This would have meant the house of the Stimite and the famous house of the Derelitti. This was originally a kind of a religious haven formerly used to house the abandoned or derelicts of the city, much like the French Les Miserables. And then there was another building near the old parish church of the Most Holy Trinity in Verona. Ironically, this second place, a third place, was actually a novitiate in later years for the Stigmatines. So Father Bertoni further expanded his offer that if perchance that neither one of these two locales would have met their needs for the Jesuits, he did not hesitate to offer the building right next to the Stimite, asking for a few rooms for his own community, and hand it all over to the Jesuits. The Stigmatine founder went even further. He offered the school itself, which was presently so well managed by St. Gaspar and his followers, and that he, St. Gaspar, would support the maintenance of the needed teachers. He always yearned for what would be best for the broader church. So if the Jesuits didn't have men to teach that would support the novitiate, St. Gaspar offered to do this. In preparation for and as part of St. Gaspar's cause of canonization, there is a very large tome containing contemporary testimonies regarding him that was published in 1958. It's the documents put together for his cause of canonization, which is conducted as a court trial. And this document would have been the various testimonies and documents and so on. Well, among the folders in the archives submitted to the Vatican and published in this work was one that had this title: Various Testimonies Regarding Devotion, the Works of the Servant of God, in Behalf of the Society of Jesus, Striving to be Reinstated and Eventually Restored to Verona in 1837. This is listed as Document 34 and runs about 10 pages. In part, this document, prepared by the Sigmatine historians Father Joseph Iorio and Father Joseph Stofala, and presented to the Holy See by the then postulated general of the Founders' Cause, Father Joseph Stofala, this document contains in part the following account. The Company of Jesus had maintained in the city of Verona St. Sebastian's School and College, with its schools up until the year of its suppression in 1773. Many years later, 60 plus, there finally dawned the day when the Company of Jesus would be reestablished by Pope Pius VII, and the Jesuits sought to return to their old locale. The Jesuit Superior General, Father Ruthham, I think he was Dutch, presently a servant of God, meaning his cause has been introduced on a very personal level. I knew Father Pedro Arupe. Father Ruthan is buried right next to Father Pedro Arupe, who witnessed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so his grave is right next to this more modern Father General. So Father Ruthan was a personal friend of Father Marani and other companions of St. Gaspar, entrusted this mission to a Father Joseph Ferrari and assigned a Father John Nepomucene Stuger, a Jesuit, as his companion. They made their way to Verona, and the episode continues in late January 1837. They wrote that their every effort was met with failure, the old College of St. Sebastian's was unavailable, and even though the Jesuits had high hopes for its eventual reacquisition. Furthermore, the property, which they thought would prove most suitable for novitiate, was likewise unavailable. As a result, the Jesuits rethought their earlier ideas of returning to Verona. It is at this point that Father Gaspar Bertoni stepped forward and offered to the Jesuits gratuitously, with no strings attached, his entire endeavor, schools included, that being so well conducted at the moment by the Stigmatines. At this time, St. Gaspar was more than 60 years of age. He had already lived 20 years at the Stimite, and the development had been very, very slow in his community. So St. Gaspar's original offer included just one building in the confines of St. Stephen's Parish, which had once served as a refuge and a saint haven for the homeless, and had the inglorious title in Italian, the House of the Derelitti. A second offer was made by Father Bertoni to the Jesuits of an old monastery building within the confines of the parish of the Most Holy Trinity. And St. Gaspar then added that if neither one of these two locales met the Jesuit specifications, he would also give them the very building of the Stigmatine, including its very long successful school, including the commitment to provide financial arrangements for the salaries of anyone who would come to teach there. Father Ferrari wrote to his superiors he could not believe his ears. At first, he categorically turned down this generous offer, as he deeply desired that the Stigmatines would continue this work. But he added, if necessary, it could be that the Jesuits might one day reconsider and make some use of the property offered on a temporary basis. The companion of this Father Ferrari was the apparently German or Trentine Father Stürger, a Jesuit, recorded this episode in his own diary, often suggested in Jesuit spirituality known as journaling. It's very common that the Jesuits use this as a way of keeping track of how things were going. The matter came to our knowledge through the contacts with the Jesuit General Archives in Rome. In the end, Father Bertoni's extraordinary gesture remained on the level of an offered gift. In the time, the Jesuits did acquire property for the novitiate, and a few years later were able to go back to their old place of St. Sebastian. Our own Stigmatine confrere, Father Charles Zara, who taught for many years in the Diocesan Seminary of Verona, compiled his own diary called Notizie, or Reminiscences, from his conversations in later years of his life with the early members of the Sigmatine community who knew the founder. Father Zara noted that it was common knowledge in those early times that Father Bettoni nourished a deep admiration for the Society of Jesus and ardently hoped that they would be reestablished in Verona. So full of humility he was considered to be by his contemporaries, Father Bettoni was convinced that the Jesuits could serve the Church better in the work that he himself had developed as our first available apostolic mission. Father Bettoni's prime interest always was that the Church be served by the best and most competent missionaries available. Actually, the saintly founder's offer included himself, all his companions, his dwellings, and all of his financial estate. In other words, he was willing to teach a few years himself, as would the others, and finance the whole operation in the hopes the Jesuit would take it over. This is interesting that a number of the early Sigmatines had wanted to be Jesuits. Many of St. Gaspar's early companions came to him because with the reinstatement of the Society of Jesus, many diocesan priests wanted to join the Jesuits, especially because of Father Luis Fortis, the local Veronese, who became the Father General after the reinstatement of the Society. But these men were not enabled to do so because of the intransigence and pressing needs of the local bishop. He was a tough old bird, and he said they could not go. They were juridically all diocesan priests under obedience to the local ordinary. By this time, there was a new local bishop who might have been more open to such an idea in the end. Nothing came of all of this, but from their own testimonies, the Jesuits were much inspired by this selfless example of St. Gaspar. In their gracious denial of this extraordinary gesture, they never forgot St. Gaspar. However, in their view, the Lord, through all of this, prepared other arrangements for the sons of St. Ignatius to return to Verona. St. Gaspar was always listed as one of the benefactors of the Venetian province of Jesuits. This was certainly no empty offer or something merely ceremonial or a matter of convenience, nor was St. Gaspar in declining health just trying to avoid responsibility. At that time, the Stigmatines numbered 12 priests, including Father Bregato, who was permanently assigned to the royal court in Vienna, 2 seminarians and 3 brothers, and also some substantial financial resources to keep his project moving, and in the hopes that this work might someday develop further. As for written documents regarding the offer of himself and his followers, there isn't any. However, Father Sturger, the Germanic Jesuit, kept a careful record of the facts as they unfolded in this incident. He makes no mention of it. It is highly probable what Father Zara had noted, as included in the integral offer in Father Zara's own words, the founder offered se stesso, himself, I suoi compagni, his companions, le sue case, e sostanze, his houses and his estate. This fact is not included in any other written document that we have. It is perhaps the content of community conversations held among the Sigmatine confreres over the years. Perhaps one more comment might be noted here. In Father Bettoni's ideal, which seems to have been his ultimate motivation, all was for the glory of God. Who could do this better? And the broadest extension of his original mission opened to him. He realized his own resources were limited, not so much financial as personnel-wise and properties, and that all might fare better in the well-organized and experienced Society of Jesus. While the Jesuits were much confident, they declined the offer and went on with the tasks undertaken under the leadership of the saintly founder. Perhaps all was understood in the ideal presented by St. Paul. May this good work that was begun in us be brought to completion on the day of the Lord. This very verse, indicating the utmost trust in the will of God, is found in St. Gaspar's Central Constitution, number 185, presenting this as the ideal of the Apostolic Mission. Just as an aside, there are a few excerpts from that Father Sturger, John Nepomucene Sturger, that's quite a name, regarding this matter. He wrote in February 20th, 1837, in his own personal diary, "A very unexpected favor came to us today, which was offered by Father Gaspar Bertoni, who is the head of a small congregation of priests. These men conduct a school to the great edification of the citizens. He has offered the property, all of his property, to Father Ferrari, that we might make use of it as a novitiate. We suspended pursuing this further until results were made known to us regarding the projected purchase of an old monastery of the Reform." That was another piece of property. March 9, 1837. "Today, Father Ferrari stayed in bed because he's ill. So he sent me, his companion, Father Sturger, to make an inspection of another house offered by Father Bertoni for the use of our novitiate. Father Bertoni himself had Father Sturger accompanied one of the priests of his congregation because he personally was busy. This locale is near the parish church of the Most Holy Trinity and was once the monastery of the Benedictines, which, as I said, in later history of the Stigmatines, many of my contemporaries of the Italian province made the novitiate there." And Father Sturger goes on, "This house is presently occupied by a few religious women and is vast, it's very well located, has a very large garden next to it. But all of these advantages are somewhat neutralized by the presence of a parish church nearby, and also because there's some kind of a reform institution nearby where there are many inmates of each sex who dwell so close to the garden of their house that their voices can even be heard from afar. This fact provides a very great impediment for a novitiate nearby." March 14th, a few days later. "On reviewing the state of our affairs and the fitting steps taken in due deliberation, the following is clear. It has been noted that here in Verona there have been established so many religious institutes. This has all taken place solely counting on divine providence. With this in mind, our Jesuit company has well concluded that it ought not merely to hold out until everything just perfectly fits our desires. Therefore, our Company of Jesus is to go ahead with our plans, counting on a grandiose confidence in divine providence. This was so exemplary in our predecessors. Father Ferrari is with a bent of mind to accede as far as possible to the proposals made by the city. For in order for us to proceed more securely, meetings were held with the illustrious Father Bertoni, a man of great personal authority and a very holy life. This man, from the bottom of his heart, has committed himself for the success of our Company of Jesus." And the next day, March 15, 1837. "After lunch today, Father Gaspar Bertoni, who was so much in support of the company, sent to us one of his priests in order to make the following declaration to the Society of Jesus. Father Bertoni, with his entire religious congregation, offers, as was made known a few days ago, their two houses presently in their possession. This offer has been made to us in order for us to establish one of them as a novitiate. These men are further ready to hand over these properties gratuitously to the Company of Jesus. Should these properties be seen as not useful for our purposes, then the very convent in which his community Pleasant dwells is part of his offer. His community is disposed to move into just a few rooms of their house. Should it be that the Company of Jesus, because of present circumstances, might not be able to conduct the classes at St. Sebastian's, Father Bertoni is further disposed to hand over the school there. Furthermore, should it prove opportune, he would be ready to hand over to the Company of Jesus all the necessary means for the support of any persons needed for this. Father Ferrari recognized always with extraordinary affection of gratitude the generosity of this holy man, declared that in no way would he accept the schools which are presently so managed by him and his congregation. However, he would reserve decision of whether some eventual use might be made of one of these two buildings, including the offering of Father Bertoni made in order to establish there our novitiate. Father Bertone was long and gratefully remembered in the Society of Jesus in and around Verona for his spontaneous and selfless offer. So it's a rather involved thing and maybe not hot first on the World Hit Parade, but it does indicate a mentality. There was a mind here of somebody who saw his own forces diminishing with not many allies on whom he could count, wanting this wonderful piece of property, which still is a beautiful piece of land, that it might be developed for the greater interests of the church. So a bit later, about a year and a half later, or 20 months later actually, St. Gaspar's total offering of his entire enterprise to Pope Gregory XVI, August 9, 1838. Now, in this connection, it certainly shows that the Holy See, the Pope personally, was involved in many of the decisions of the Italian Church. Today, of course, we have the Italian Conference of Bishops, but the Cardinal is still a man of great influence, even the president of that, a great influence in the Vatican. At any rate, as on August 9th, St. Gaspar wrote a very interesting letter, which we have, and I'll try to give a bit of the background here. So about 20 months later, Father Bertone had further strengthened the financial support of the school. He was a very good financier. Once again, this time in deference to the Holy See, his spirituality motivated him for a second time to make an outright offer of his entire undertaking. It does not seem as though he was just trying to get rid of a burden that his failing health had rendered so much of a challenge. Nor did he make these gestures because there were not many fresh prospects for the Stigmatine way of life. There is nothing in our history that would favor any such self-centered interpretation. These generous sentiments seem to flow from his own conviction of self-giving, as he was described in his time as a model of holy abandonment for the betterment of the church. It seems, rather, that he was constantly led out of his enormous respect for the church and her goods, led forward. Father Bertone believed in his heart every day that the church herself lived a high level of holy abandonment to the all-wise God. He wrote this in the time of the imprisonment of Pius VI, in which he said the church waits for the proper time when God's will be done. St. Gaspar yearned to see in what way these church goods would be most beneficially and competently utilized for the glory of God and for the more ever competent service of the church. It was not that he wanted the Stigmatine flag flying over any building. Wherever that building or property or money could be better used, he was disposed to hand it over. So the first letter that we have of St. Gaspar to Pope Gregory XVI is dated August 9, 1838. This was made known to later generations of Stigmatines through the initial biography of his founder, Father Cajetan Giacobbe. It is evident that this letter, while dealing with rather practical matters, indicates again the fundamental detachment and saints of real poverty of St. Gaspar. The goods that he administered belonged to the church. The founder looked on himself as the administrator or treasurer, like the talents in the gospel parable, as a good far-sighted steward in Luke 12. St. Gaspar wanted the value of the Lord's investments to develop. It seems that Father Morani had come across this letter in a folder assembled containing official reports of the Stigmatine Institute to the church authorities. In those days, every community had to hand in a document. Today it would be maybe to the Congregation of Religious. At that time, it was directly to the Pope. So this folder manifests the date of December 14, 1853, just 6 months after the founder's death. Father Morani was initiating the procedures required for the approval of the Stigmatines as a church institute. One of the contemporary Stigmatines of the founder's lifetime, Father Binciulini, suggested that this report was intended for the authorities in Rome, as well as perhaps the imperial government of Vienna. The background for this communication seems to have been the following. As the years passed, St. Gaspar really wanted to be sure that his lifelong commitment at the Stimite and beyond might continue after his death by providing it with those investments available to him for this purpose. It's almost as though he was considered himself as a court-appointed power of attorney, and he wanted to hand this over for its better use and development. So in order to do this, Father Vittoni sought to acquire preferably those properties which originally had belonged to religious communities before being confiscated by the government in the aftermath of the Napoleon era and the civil government. What they would do, the government that succeeded all of this confusion, auctioned off the property. A lot of other church entities bid for them and, of course, were preferred, and many of them went back into the church service. This effort to strengthen the finances of the little community at the Stimite came directly from Bishop Joseph Grasser. He told him to do that, make better investments, trying to buy up some property for the future. It seems that one of the Stigmatines had an appointment with the bishop on another matter, and the bishop was recorded to have said something like the following: "Please tell Father Vittoni, in my name, that I really want to see the purchase of those formerly religious houses which the government once suppressed. Try to find somebody of confidence who could serve as a straw buyer for the congregation." The Stigmatines did this from some person, a certain Dr. Magi, who other than this I have no further knowledge. So in compiling this folder, Father Morani noted the following: "It is good to remember here that the saintly founder did not need an express command from the bishop in order to act. A hint was enough. Father Vittoni approached the finance ministry when a number of Veronese properties of suppressed religious communities were put up for sale to make money for the government. The bishop was strongly of the view that these properties once belonged to the church should return again to the dominion of God and his church. And the bishop promised the Stigmatines that he himself would make all the necessary arrangements with the authorities in Rome." Once all of this background was carried out, St. Gaspar wrote this letter to Pope Gregory the 16th, August 9, 1838. It's interesting to us from a historical point of view because he really describes what he thought the Stimitine congregation was. "Most blessed Holy Father, being the very least of all your servants, the undersigned priest with a few companions, gratuitously serves the spouse of Christ in a clerical and common life in order to honor in her our common Creator and Savior. And this work has already been found to be of some use by two successive bishops. It has been encouraged after having restored and embellished a small church and having constructed a suitable residence and school building. In his declining age, this priest has been able to establish a certain system of financial support of savings so that this ecclesial service might continue and not end with his death." Now, this most zealous bishop here, as St. Gaspar tells the Pope, strongly encouraged him to purchase a certain property formerly up for sale belonging to religious, which the finance ministry was selling. With this encouragement, therefore, the Stigmatine community bought it at the cost of 160,000 Austrian lire. And this, with the agreement already reached and the property purchased, this is now presented at the feet of the Vicar of Christ and of the Apostles. We'll continue this reflection in our presentation in our next reflection. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promise of Christ. St. Gaspar Vittoni, please pray for us all.